Yes, so thank you. This truly is a family, and it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of this family. And the Bible really makes it clear that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer, and when one grieves, we all grieve, and when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And we've just really experienced that in a deep and profound way this last week. So again, thank you. Some of you have said that you wish you knew my dad, and of course, I deeply wish you knew my dad, and I hope in some tiny way you get to experience my dad somehow through me. I was thinking about Mufasa and the Lion King and looking in that pool. Anyhow, but we're not here for that. We're here for moms today, right? We're actually in the middle of a series called Taboo, and we were going to talk about addiction today, and I decided to just set that aside for a week. You're welcome, moms. Just didn't seem right, and given where our family's been at and everything else. But this is a day of great celebration for some today. And let's be just really blunt and frank for today. This is a really, really hard day for a lot of you. A lot of you that either are hurting moms, or your mom is gone, or there's separation between you and your mom. It's a family day, and it's a day of reflection upon those mothers who have passed away, or for some it's buying and making gifts. It can be an emotional day because it's about family. Some families are really complicated, and some family things just bring up good memories. Sometimes they bring up bad memories. And today I hope some of you will be able to create some great memories, and maybe you can reflect on some good memories in the past. But one thing's for sure. Every one of you have had a mother who labored in giving birth to you. And in most cases, a mother who labored in raising you or is in the process of raising you. How many, just a quick show of hands, I mean, I can kind of see this, but how many of you are under 18? Raise your hands, okay? Scott, really? That was years, not decades, okay? Just to clarify. All right. Well, if you are a mom, would you just stand? All the moms, can we just have all the moms stand for just a second? And can we just honor them and celebrate? I'm going to see my mom in a couple hours. She is with her mom at the moment. So if you're listening on the podcast, hi, Mom. I love you. At the conclusion of our time together, we have a flower for each of you just as a thank you from Sile Community Church, because we love you. We love moms. And moms are great, and we wouldn't be here without moms. So we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments today. Moms and Ten Commandments, that was a big jump, wasn't it? Well, when you think about the Ten Commandments, can any of you read what it says? It's really old Hebrew, yeah. Yeah, it looks like what? What was that? Freudian? Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, when you think about the Ten Commandments, what is the first command you think of? Raise your hand. First command you think of in the Ten Commandments. The second one. Okay. What's the first command you think of? That's the first command you think of? You are so lying. But you are so going to get double allowance this week. Okay. Usually. What? Not steal. Okay, I like that one better. Okay. Thou shalt not steal. What other commands do you normally think of? Yeah. Murder. I think murder is the number one people think of. In fact, if you ask people, like, what do you obey the Ten Commandments? I mean, if we just go up to Meyer and talk to people and say, okay, do you obey the Ten Commandments? I think most people would say yes, because I've never killed anyone. Okay? I'm seeing some nods, so I'm not the only one getting this. I've never killed anyone, so therefore I've obeyed all 10, which is pretty ludicrous. I mean, you can count to 10, right? There's one there that says do not murder. And then there is the do not steal. And everyone, the workers at Meijer hope everyone obeys that one, like do not steal. So we got like do not murder and do not steal. Those are good. Most people would be kind of keen on the adultery thing. Like, that's probably not a good thing to do. Although there's now a website that promotes adultery, but don't get me started on that. So we kind of go through those, and then there are a few that just kind of fade in the background a little bit, particularly number one and two. What's number one? Lord your God, right? And then number two is like it, which is no idols, right? And no other gods. And then number three is? I just haven't heard it yet. Exodus 20, everybody. It's not the Sabbath. Everyone turn to Exodus 20. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Wow. Okay, so we got to love the Lord, no idols. Number three is not to use the Lord's name in vain. Number four is Sabbath, which we all slaughter. Well, I don't want to speak for you. Most people I know slaughter the Sabbath one. And the penalty for Sabbath was death. We're not talking about murder now. The penalty for violating the Sabbath was death. In 99.99% of U.S. American Christians that I've met slaughter the Sabbath. But actually, we're not going to talk about any of those. We're going to go down to number five. Number five, it's not a thou shalt not. People always think that the Ten Commandments are all these thou shalt nots. That's at the second half. There's a bunch of do nots, right? Thou shalt nots. But I love that number five is a very affirming command, and it's a command with a promise. And it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There's like a promise behind that. There's good news there. And we're going to spend our next few moments together just kind of unpacking this a bit. Before we do, let's pray. Amazing Almighty God, as we think about the command to honor our father and mother, we are mindful that you are our Heavenly Father. You are Abba. You are our dad. You are our daddy. And I thank you so much for being our daddy, our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. May we bring honor to you and to your holy name. May we not put other gods before you. May we worship you and worship you alone. And in our time together, may you reveal your power and your love and your presence to us through the Holy Spirit. May we seek to understand better what it means to honor our father and our mother, our earthly mother and father, as well as our heavenly father. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, my God, my Redeemer, my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Honor your father and your mother. This word honor is something that, it's a word I rarely hear. I don't know, maybe your sphere of influence is different than mine. Maybe the people that you hang around are different than mine. But I rarely hear people talk about honor. In fact, there's only one arena that I ever typically hear the word honor, and that is in the military. There's something about like the Marines, and they talk about honor and such. But I don't hear this word very often. I think it's a really powerful word, and it's a word that's just been lost in our culture. It seems almost old-fashioned. The original word, kabed, means to be heavy, to be wealthy, to be honored, glorified, renowned, and substantial. It's a lot of various words, all describing the same single Hebrew word from Exodus 20. The Ten Commandments, they appear in Exodus 20 and then again in Deuteronomy 5. And there's a bit of a nuance here, and it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now don't miss the promise that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land your God is given you. Now, what land is this? What's the context? Anyone know? It's the promised land. It's Israel. God has given them the Ten Commandments in the middle of the journey through the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. And God gave two stone tablets to to Moses, right? And as they're about to enter the land of Israel, he's saying, it is so important for you to honor your father and your mother. It's not even talking about God the Father at this point. He's saying, as the people of Israel, I've created the family. I've created this structure with a man and a woman coming together, having children, and that the mom and dad together raise the children. And that the parents love the children, and the children honor and love mom and dad. That's the way he intended it. Obviously, things don't always turn out the way God plans and intends, and we live in a messed up, broken world. But this command in Exodus and again in Deuteronomy, God is telling the people of Israel, honor your parents. So that you may live long and prosper. Right? Isn't that Star Trek? Yeah. See, Spock got it from God. It's right in the Ten Commandments here. So that it may go well with you in the land your God is giving you. See, this idea of honoring dad and mom is a really, really big deal. Now, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, we're not Old Testament Christians. I mean, that's for the Jews or something, but we are New Testament Christians. So all we care about is the New Testament, which I think is so crazy. You really can't understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament, because they're part of the same story. In fact, if you've ever been to a play, imagine a three-act play and you walk in the middle of Act 2. You know nothing about the story. You just show up late. Act 2 starts. And you're like, what in the world is going on? I don't understand the characters. I don't understand the plot line. Wow, that's a really cool prop they have over there. And that guy can really sing well. But I have no idea what's going on in this story. It's because the New Testament is Act 2. And by the way, we are living in Act 3. Some people believe that, like, God's dead now. That God doesn't do miracles anymore. That God's sleeping now. That somehow it's just over. But friends, the Old Testament is Act 1 of the story. The beautiful story of God. And it's there that we see that in the beginning God and that God created. And then we see all these amazing things covering about, what, 3/4 of the Bible in the Old Testament. And then God is silent. For hundreds of years, God is silent. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. You could say John the Baptist shows up. You could say their parents show up. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John begin the amazing accounts of Jesus. And then from then on, we see Act 2. We see God's plan and purposes. And we're living in Act 3, and I don't know, maybe you could say that Act 4 is actually Revelation. We kind of can, it's a future-oriented thing. But it's all part of the same story. And so the things that God teaches and tells us in the Old Testament are extremely important. Now, there are some laws, there are some details, there are some things that we are no longer required to follow, those that are Gentiles. But there's so much, in fact, the vast majority of things in the Old Testament are fulfilled and continue on in the New Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So this idea of honoring your father and mother, well, old-fashioned, really old, thousands and thousands of years old, it's a really big deal. On several occasions, in fact, Jesus referred to this very thing. Matthew and Mark both recorded his words. In Matthew, he reminds the people, God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Is that strong? And then Mark looks very similar, although the reference is Moses, because God told Moses. So here Jesus is saying, well, Moses said, because God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Have you ever thought of that? Like just how severe that consequence is, how important that command is? So the question of the day really is, how do we honor mothers? I mean, we can throw fathers in there too, of course. But how do we honor our mothers? And it's not always simple. I mean, how do you honor an abusive mother? How do you honor a deceased mother or an estranged mother? How do you honor a mother that you never knew? Perhaps you may think that your mother is not worthy of honor or of glory, but it's a command nonetheless of God. We recently studied Paul's instructions to the church in the city of Ephesus and beyond. And Paul wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Do you see how over and over and over again this commandment is repeated? It's not just a one-time thing on the mountain to Moses. It goes Exodus and Deuteronomy, which are parallel, but then it's Jesus in Matthew and Mark, and then Paul continues it in Ephesians. Honor is connected to obedience and a reminder of the promise. And I think it gives us a hint of what this word honor is really all about. Perhaps you may think that your mother's not worthy of obedience. You may disagree with their instructions. Kids, how many times has mom ever said something to you that you disagree with? Don't raise your hand! No, don't raise your hand! It doesn't say obey when you feel like it. Obey when it's convenient, right? It says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I think in the Lord, by the way, excludes anything that maybe a twisted parent might say that would violate God's plans and purposes. And unfortunately, there are some mothers that say some inappropriate things and ask children to do inappropriate things that would violate God. So kids, know your word, know the Bible, and you can weigh that out. But certainly in this room, and for most people that I know, most moms have some sense of right and wrong, some sense of morality, some sense of honoring God. And as such, we as children, those our children, are to honor mom and dad by obeying them. And every parent in this room said, "Oh, that was not very good. You must not be very excited, parents. Or your kids are a whole lot better than I..." Well, anyhow, as we noted last week, God created man and woman and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And marriage and the family was God's idea, as we said before. And when His commands are followed, we are able to flourish. And we're able to experience joy and fullness and life and peace and hope and joy. But tragically, sin affects all families and relationships. And fighting against God's design and seeking to steal, kill, and destroy the abundant life, which our enemy does, has corrupted our world so desperately. I'm reminded of another one of Paul's writings and one of my favorite verses, passages of the Bible. Romans 12. And it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will..." This is a fun part. "You will heap burning coals on his head." No one else likes that? You guys are liars. And that's one of those Ten Commandments. But anyhow, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The phrase that I really like about this is it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. You can't control another person. If you're like me, you have a hard enough time controlling yourself. But you can't control another person. So parents, you can't control your kids. Kids, you can't control your parents. You can influence them. You can love them. You can honor them. You can respect them. You can do all sorts of things, but you can't really control them. And so Paul makes it really clear, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. As far as it depends on you, if there's a brokenness between you and your parents, a broken relationship, pursue that relationship. Find ways to honor. As much as it depends on you, seek reconciliation. As much as it depends on you, live a life worth following, bringing honor to your family, to your family's name, and to God. For those of you with great living moms, express your love and appreciation for them. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Tell them how much they mean to you. Make a gift for them. Or really the greatest thing of all that I found with moms, just give them chocolate, because it seems like that really works. If mom is distant, as Donna said earlier, give her a call today. Maybe set up a video chat. Express your love. Write a letter. Visit her. I'm going to visit my mom shortly. If your mom is no longer living, you can still write a letter, say a prayer, tell others about her, or reflect upon her life. Thank God for the life she gave you and live a life that would bring honor to her. Moms, have you been honored by your children? I was just wondering if any mom sitting in this room think about a particular event, a particular time where they felt honored by their children and would feel like sharing a 60-second story or a six-word story. Any of you get breakfast this morning, moms? I'm seeing no movement. Oh, you got breakfast? All right. My kids made breakfast for my wife today. I know they made a big whole deal. Any moms want to share how? And this is like brag on your kids now. They're making dinner for you. Okay. A lovely post on Facebook. All right. See how technology can do some really neat things. Yeah. Aw, that's beautiful. Good job. Any other moms want to brag? Yes, Judy. Oh, great. Yeah, tonight Judy's speaking at Hope Clinic at our Hope Fellowship at 5:30. I hope you guys, some of you can go out and support her, and it's great that you have family that are going to come support you as you speak and represent Sile and represent Jesus tonight. That's terrific. Anyone else? Any moms? Kids, you got some work to do. If your mom's not standing up shouting praises about how you've honored them, you got some work to do. Oh, it's not over yet. Okay, oh, we got some surprises in store. Okay, so next week you can tell all your great stories. Hey, you know, I often think about generations, and particularly, well, yesterday I was well reminded about generations and family and legacy and from one generation to another. I often think about generations of families passing a baton from one generation to the next. And I know for many of you, the baton that you received was broken. Maybe it was in 2 pieces or 100 pieces. It was shattered and broken. And if your baton was broken, ask God to bring healing and holy duct tape it in order to provide a solid baton to the next generation. You know, it doesn't matter how many pieces it's in. God can do some great healing and some great mending and can take those broken pieces. And I know some of you are in the midst of this right now. You were dealt a broken baton and you're passing on a strong, healthy baton to the next generation because you've incorporated faith into it. Because Jesus has entered your story. Jesus has entered the legacy in which you and your family are now experiencing life and newness and wholeness. It's never too late to begin a legacy of faith, hope, and love, even if it was never a part of the heritage and of your family. And I'm so grateful for the heritage of my family. I'm so grateful for my mom and dad and the way that they passed on faith to me and the way that their parents passed on faith to them and the way that their parents passed on faith to them. It's a beautiful thing when people honor their father and mother, and most of all when they honor their heavenly Father and bring glory to them. As you know, I actually, some of you may not even know, but I actually did my dad's funeral yesterday. And it was such an honor and a privilege to do that. It was something that was just burning inside me. I wanted to honor him and pay tribute to the most influential man in my life, a godly man who spent so many years failing mentally and physically. And I worked so hard to find the right words to celebrate his life and bring honor to him. And I want not only my words, but my life to bring honor to my dad. It's one thing just to stand in front of a group of people and say nice things about a person, but it's a whole other thing to walk faithfully in one's footsteps. It's another thing to truly emulate a person. It's so different to live out what we say we want to do. And of course, as much as I want to bring honor and glory to my dad and to my mom, I want to bring honor and glory to my heavenly dad, to my heavenly Father. And on this Mother's Day, I just want to encourage all of us to think about how can we bring honor and glory to our parents, to our family name. Even if the family name is bad, how do we recreate that name and bring new life, new image, a new reputation to that family name? And most of all, how do we bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us so much, who gave everything for us, even His very own Son, Jesus, the most precious thing that He had, so that we may experience life, so that we may experience abundant, rich, meaningful life, not just when we die, but here and now. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, that your life may be filled with joy and purpose. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you again for being such a great dad, for loving us so much. We love you because you first loved us. And on this Mother's Day today, I pray for every mom that they would experience your presence, your blessing, your love, and your joy. And for children, I pray that they would bring honor and glory to their parents. And all of us are children, children of a man and a woman. And whether they're living or deceased, whether they're close or far, I pray that our lives, our actions would not only bring honor and glory to them, but in doing so would bring honor and glory to you. And I thank you also for not only the biological family that we have, but also for the family of God, the family of Jesus, the family of Christ, the body of Christ. I thank you that everyone in this room is related by blood. That we are related by the blood of Jesus as brothers and sisters. And I pray that you would increasingly just show us how to love and serve one another, and in doing so, honor you, our Heavenly Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen.